The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. This is a numbers game. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm good. You have any JJ Spawn by any chance?
Nah.
It's early.
I was trying to tell Dave Ross, though, there could be more surprising guys at the top. JJ Spawn ain't no joke.
No, he ain't no joke. He used to let the mic smoke.
That's right.
Here's the thing about JJ Spawn today. This year, by the way, just to give you an update, JJ Spawn, 4 under currently at the United States Open at Oakmont. In Oakmont, Pennsylvania, a 1-stroke lead over your boy, Gary Woodland. Do you have any Gary Woodland?
Nope, which I would have. I don't want to say extreme FOMO because I didn't really get close to Gary this week.
Okay. 2-stroke lead over some names. Oberg, which I know you do have.
That's
Ludwig
right.
Oberg. Rory McIlroy, also 2 under.
Rory coming for them receipts this week, Gil.
Yeah, he's like...
Two bad weeks, everybody's been talking crap.
I've heard everybody talking about me. Watch this. Siwoo Kim also 2 back. A whole bunch of guys 2 back. But John Michael Spawn. Why is he JJ, by the way? His name's John Michael.
Oh, no idea. Siwoo is the one at the in the top of the leaderboard right now, first page of the leaderboard, that would be the FOMO. Because I got very close to betting him, not really outright, but top 20s, top 10s, and stayed away.
JJ Spawn this year on tour. Best results, T3 at the Sony Open in Hawaii to start the year. Tied for second at the Cognizant Classic in February, at the end of February. Then, of course, most famously, lost in a playoff to Rory, right, at the mm-hmm. Players' Championship.
Yep.
That was his best result. And then since then, he's kind of, he did finish T6 at the Charles Schwab, but that's his only notable result since the Players' Championship. Missed the cut last week at the Memorial. Read into that whatever you want to. But that's, you know, the best he's ever done at a major, T23 at a Masters. So here he is again, very early. Dave was also upset that we have 11 golfers under par. He was very angry about this.
I kind of just made up a number. Is that what it is, though? I think it is.
It's
like
it's close to 13 that. Under par.
He's saying this is the Oakmont. This is not the Oakmont we were promised. I said, Dave, let's give it more than an hour or two. Okay, let's see how the afternoon conditions play out. But there are a lot of big names, as you usually see at a U.S. Open, that are not doing well, including one I bet on, Shane Lowry, 3 over par through 7 holes. So he's struggling mightily out there.
Bryson's 3 back. Bryson's lurking.
Yeah, he's 3 back. I'm talking 3 over par for Lowry. Hideki's 3 over par.
Yeah.
Cameron Smith, 2 over. Akshay Batia, 2 over. Matt Fitzpatrick, 2 over. Xander Schauffele, 2 over. Keegan Bradley, 2 over. So there are plenty of good golfers out there struggling.
Scheffler yet to tee off.
Scheffler yet to tee off, and I think a good note by the books, guys. Check prices right now if you're interested in Scheffler. He's about 3-1, a little over 3-1, I think, you can get right now if you want.
Slightly more favorable price than you would have gotten in pre-flop with the start by Spawn and some others. To the NBA, well, first of all, on the show today, by the way, usually Thursdays are Zach and Crack. No Zach today. Zach is on assignment, as we like to say here on the show. But Crack will be here. Crack will be here a segment earlier because we're going to get him out a segment earlier because we're going to talk to Stormy and JVT live from Omaha, the College World Series today. The co-host of Money Moves, Stormy and JVT later on the show. But Crack before that, and a little segment of Are We Sure coming up as well. Estamos Seguros.
That's right.
As well. Look forward to that. NBA last night. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, well, well. Look at that Indiana Pacers squad. Up 2-1 now in the best of 7 NBA finals. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder yesterday and did so while obviously covering the spread. They were 5.5-point dogs pre-flop. They win it outright by the score. What was it? 116-107 final score in this one. It goes under, by the way. VSiN Challenge. Fezzik gets another win. So it's a two-man race. Fezzik and Zach Cohen at the top of the VSiN Killer Sports Challenge.
It's not that I've forgotten. I have still yet to make a bet in the finals.
A few people have yet to make a bet. I think a few people are just like, I'm done.
Actually, I think I played game one, so I might have been, already down one if that's the case.
It's Fezzik in first. It's Zach Cohen in second. First prize, $3,000. Second prize, $500. And I'm in third, and only 2 people get money. So there you go. I cannot get to first or second. it is a two-man race. Kazarian could get to second. We're the only four that are still alive here. He could get to second if he starts making plays, but he could also finish third or fourth. I could finish only third or fourth. So Fezzik with the edge over Zach. And remember, there's a tiebreaker involved. The tiebreaker is, who did you pick as the NBA champion? I don't know if either took the Indiana Pacers or not, but
I started off so hot, Gil. So hot.
Yeah, this is the thing, and I said this to Steve yesterday. I'm like, there's a difference between me and you. I have the under in game two. 130 points are scored in the second half, so I lose. It gets to 230. You last night have the under. There's like 120 some points scored in the first half, and you luck box your way into a win. That's the story with that kid. Good for him, though. So I hope he and Zach battle it out to the end. Fezzik has one more pick, and Zach has two more. But as for the game last night, this is getting real.
Real quick.
The Indiana Pacers, and it was a topsy-turvy game, and we could go through all the roller coaster. By the way, if you are not watching the NBA playoffs, I know there's a lot of people who are making themselves feel good about missing some of the NBA playoffs, but say, oh, it's been terrible. No, it hasn't. It's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And this game last night, 15 to 6 run for OKC to start the game. Indiana cut it to 2 at 22-20, but then OKC surged to a 10-4 run at the end of the first quarter, 32-24. Later in the second quarter, there was a 15-4 run by the Pacers to start the quarter. They took the lead by three. OKC caught them. Then they scored. Pacers did 7 unanswered late in the second quarter to go up 49-42. It was part of a 25-10 run, but OKC caught them at 51. Little Pacers run at the end of the half, 64-60 Indiana at halftime. Bench scoring at that point, 30-11. The Thunder would score the first 8 of the second half to go up 4. Pacers would score 6 to retake the lead. Then Halliburton came alive. Pacers took the lead again, 79-76. And then OKC with a 13-5 run to end the quarter to take a 5-point lead into the fourth. And I just want to bookmark it there because to me, this game, and then the stats, you know, the final stats of this game are that the Indiana bench, we'll get to that. Williams in defeat for the OKC. Williams 26, SGA 24, Holmgren 20-10 for Indiana. Just an amazing performance by so many. But I want to seize on the bench and specifically TJ McConnell. Indiana's bench outscored OKC's bench 49-18 in this game, and it was the story of the game. But McConnell, by the way, Mathurin led the Pacers with 27. Halliburton, 22-9-11, a rebound shy of a triple-double.
Thank God.
So, again, for those like Perk who said he can't do things in this series, well, there's your answer. Siakam, 21. Of those 49 points that Indiana scored off the bench, 10 of them were from TJ McConnell. TJ McConnell ended up with a scoring line of 10 points, 5 assists, and 5 steals in 15 minutes. He's the first NBA player since the 1973-74 finals to put up those numbers. He's now averaging 10 points, 5 assists, 2.7 steals during these finals in just over 60 minutes per game. But he had 5 steals, and I just want to highlight 3 of them because if you don't see this in a box score. But last night, there was three of his 5 steals were off inbounds passes after Indiana Pacers baskets. The first one, Siakam had a layup that cut it to 32-26. This is in the second quarter. McConnell steals it from Cason Wallace. On an inbounds pass. It was intended for Holmgren. He immediately dishes it to Siakam, McConnell does, who misses a three. McConnell gets the offensive board. He feeds Mathurin for a 4-footer to cut it to 4. Another time, Nesmith scores to make it 34-32 right after that. McConnell, faking like he's running down court, hits the brakes as Wallace inbounds, steals it again, throws it off of Wallace to maintain possession. And then the biggest play of the game, and I would argue it is hard to distill any series into one game, let alone one play. But if Indiana goes on to win this series, and I would argue once again, it would be the greatest, most improbable run of any postseason in any North American team sport we've ever seen, based on the 4 games where they've won with 2% win probability on average in those 4 games, 1 in each of these series. But if they do, and you could distill it to anything beyond those amazing late game plays by Halliburton, it's 95-91 OKC last night. And you sort of, this is the fourth quarter, you sort of feel like, wow, the Pacers put up a great effort tonight, but I don't know if they're going to get home. And if they lose this game, I don't know if they have any chance of winning this series. And Nembhard hits a 15-footer to cut it to 95-93. This is with 8:39 left in the game. Caruso tries to get it into SGA. This is again on the inbounds pass right after that. I don't know if McConnell's invisible to him or whatever, but McConnell, with his, you know, little self compared to the other players, jumps as high as he can, steals the ball, puts it right up, bank shot, snatches it, and it's 95-95. And the rest of the way, the rest of the way, the Pacers would outscore the Thunder 21-12, and they win it once again by the final of, was that 106 to...
116-107.
116-107, pardon me. So that's... I mean, that to me, McConnell was that will always be for me the TJ McConnell game.
I didn't want to interrupt at all, Gil, because I completely agree with you. I mean, that was it, and it started early. First quarter was OKC. Second quarter, McConnell and Mathurin check in. Those two took over right away, and there's not many games that we've seen this OKC. I mean, like, it is the classic story if you want to go to this narrative, right? The classic story of the bench and the role players show up bigger at home, right? And it's OKC, the role players in the bench gave them absolutely nothing last night. Indiana bench house scores OKC 49-18. But it was so much of McConnell and the magic beans that he always brings to these basketball
magic
games.
Magic beans.
That he shows up and those steals on the inbounds passes, just motion. Motion stuff they get these NBA players are so used to doing and turning the ball over because McConnell just gives them a bit of a head fake. And it was him and Mathurin were the differences in this game. Halliburton looked much more comfortable at home. This is a series, man.
Pacers installed once again as 6-point favorites in game four, 6-point dogs in game four. I'll play them again, just like I did last night and in the contest. I'm out of bullets in the contest, but I'll play them again. I'll bet them. Give me the points.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget to get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. Get started now. VSiN.com/subscribe. $9.99, Kelly. Just $9.99. That's it.
What a deal.
What a deal. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. By the way, let me just say this. Everybody, stop sending me Fat Debo pictures and video. Everybody said it'd be Fat Debo Samuel video from from the Commanders practice.
I guess I ignored him because I was tagged on a couple of them, but is it really that bad? Like, Debo's always like a bigger guy.
A little portly, a little chunky.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
He's not moving. Let's put it this way. Every 10 yards, I feel the strain in him that he's running.
He looks fine. He's ready to run over linebackers. I'm looking at it right now.
Jesse Welch. Good morning, fellas. So how much is OKC giving up to get Giannis next season? He's already there. Up to the one. Are the Pacers, so it's already the OKC talk.
I said don't rule it out unless those guys are putting rings on their fingers. Like, it is, I think it is still extremely live.
Here's the thing, though. Every game is important. It's an NBA Finals, for goodness sake. But when you are up 2-1, and specifically when you have home court 5-7, and specifically when you don't, right, as the Pacers, game four appears to be everything. Because if OKC wins, it's like, okay, it's a best of three, and we got home court. But if the Pacers win, man, and let me just say this too, like, the series price on the Pacers right now is about +180. I would not play that because the game four price is better than that. The game four price alone, again, it's all derivative of the spread, right? The spread is 6 points. Pacers are 6-point dogs. The money line on the Pacers in game four is $2, roughly. So it's better than the series price on the Pacers. But I think we all kind of would agree that if the Pacers win this series, it's going to involve winning game four. Unless you think otherwise, right? Unless you think it's going to go 2-2 and then the Pacers are going to take two out of the last three. But that, to me, you do not play the series price on the Pacers. Just play the game four money line.
I love it. We're in lockstep today, yeah, man. I thought about this. We're going to be on opposite sides of this one. It applies to the Thunder, too. If you like the Thunder,
yeah,
I'll just bet game four. You can add the series price if you want, but it's basically the same thing. I bet the Thunder last night at -225 for game four. I just laid the money line. I didn't want to mess around with the points. But I played the money line. Look, it's series on the line. OKC has to win this game if this is going to continue. I think same thing if you're talking about the Pacers side. They win that game, it's likely over. I'll tell you the one – and the bigger reason, though, I'd rather bet game four as an OKC backer than the series Gil, this goes to seven. I mean, the one advantage that at least I said, and I know, I mean, others have too, but I didn't give Indiana much other advantages than this. Coaching. Rick Carlisle, and I think Daggs is struggling a little bit right now in this series. I mean, he decided, I'm interested to see what happens in game four, because he decided, we talked about this leading into the series, when would they go small? He went small from game one. He messed around with his starting lineup, changed it out, and did that game one. Now I'm interested to see if does he go back and go back to playing what this team is used to in their regular rotations, because when you look at bench numbers from last night and they're not doing anything, clearly these guys are not comfortable. So I'm very interested in that. But, yeah, I think it's the betting conversation of game versus series is interesting, and I came to the same conclusion that I would rather bet game four than a series price.
Game four tomorrow night once again in Indiana at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. I don't want to say it's all for all the marbles, because it's never for all the marbles in a 2-1 series in game four, but it sure feels that way.
And maybe I didn't say that right, but like game seven, we're back in OKC.
Yeah.
That is way more coin flippy all of a sudden in game seven.
Game seven could get, how can I put this, sphincterific.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Sphincterific.
So if I was looking to back OKC, I would try to, that's why I would bet this, just try to take that game seven out of the picture.
Wolf named Wayne. Love you guys and always will, but how do we not lead with the Pacers? Let's get to the real story in sports. Because we updated the U.S. Open scoreboard? He was upset about that?
I guess.
U.S. Open leaderboard? Jamie Leyva, 45 seconds into the show, Gil with I Ain't No Joke from Eric B. and Rakim. If you were looking for that in your local book, it was under Quick Hits. Cash that ticket. Thank you. Chris Heath. Oh, Chris Heath is lamenting the fact that he had a Gary Woodland ticket. What was this for? The 2019 U.S. Open at 75-1. He's like, no Gary FOMO over here. Seeing him atop the leaderboard brings me back. Master of Puppets. Hey, Gil, headed to Vegas this weekend. Here's a trade for you. Tell me the sushi spot, and I'll bring you to Wu-Tang in Ontario, Canada, in a suite. Everything paid for next Friday night.
Wait, what?
So he wants to pay, give me a whole paid trip to see Wu-Tang in Canada if I tell him the name of the sushi spot.
What if Gil tells you the name of the sushi spot, and then I go with you to Wu-Tang?
Why can't I go to Wu-Tang?
Well, I don't know.
What happened?
Can we both go to Wu-Tang?
How did I get a
Can we go to the show
that
on a remote?
Sound fun. Mike Montesano, Debo looks like a fullback, he says. Yes, well, that's what he kind of has always kind of been part running back, right? Which he objects to. And then T. Sheldahl, OKC still minus 230 series favorite, even though game three winners to go up 2-1 are 80% winners. Yeah, if you're up 2-1, you end up winning 80% of the time. Well, interesting. So I just wanted to make that point about game four versus the series price as well. And apparently we didn't even speak about that. We were in the same thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's no matter how good you think the Thunder are.
Right.
And I think they're great. I think they're great. They've got to win this game four. If you're talking about them winning this series, it is a tall task. We've only seen it, what, once, twice, of 3-1, down 3-1.
3-1 has happened 13 total times. A comeback from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA playoffs has only happened 13 times in history. It has only happened one time in NBA Finals history. We all know what that was. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers against the 73-win Golden State Warriors. 73 wins of the regular season. So that's it.
I can't get over the McConnell stuff. Seriously, like I'm for the people like me who watch NBA every night during the regular season, and I'm sitting on my couch with a cocktail, like laughing, where I'm like, DJ McConnell making these guys look like fools. But, you know, it's a regular season game in January. It doesn't matter much. It's the NBA Finals. And
it's incredible.
They still don't know how TJ McConnell operates. Like, it is amazing.
Three times in the same game. And again, I will argue, if you can, listen, it's hard to argue against the Halliburton heroics at the end of these games during the playoffs. That will always be the real reason why the Pacers were able to do this. But the category beyond that will be TJ McConnell last night. I mean, that was unbelievable.
I think another concern, if you're an OKC fan, backer, on the team, whatever, Gil, you and I play this game all the time with NBA games. Pull up this box score and tell me where was the major outlier.
Yeah.
And the only takeaway, the bench scoring differential is the only big differential. OKC won most of these stat battles for this game. They out-rebounded them. They shot better than Indiana. Like, this is, it's a concern. You got outplayed in the minutes that mattered at the end of that game, and when the stars left the floor, the benches dominate.
Indiana, 13 steals and 11 blocks. Is that good? Good God.
Who has the best defense in the league again?
That's exactly right. It was a turn of events last night.
Anyway. I don't know. It just made me excited because I think we're in for a long series now. If OKC had won last night, I think it was going to end up being a runaway. I think we were in for a very long series. And no, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know Oklahoma City's winning this series anymore. They got two wins under their belts. This thing is up for grabs.
Did you see the Ben Fox tweet, our old buddy Ben Fox, last night? Did you see the tweet that he had? Jay-Z. You familiar with Jay-Z? Otherwise known as
I heard about this.
Beyonce's husband. Placed a $1 million wager on the Thunder to win the NBA Finals in 5 games at plus 230 odds at Fanatics. Really? Fanatics got him a limit for $1 million? bet would have won $3.3 million. Dunzo.
Sorry, Jay-Z, for tailing me. That sucks. Apologize.
Oh, no, Jay-Z.
I did lose that bet last night.
Yeah. The OKC in five.
But, shocker, it wasn't looking great already after game one.
By the way, hockey tonight, obviously, takes center stage. Game 4 in the NHL Stanley Cup Final with Florida up 2-1 on Edmonton. As it's sort of the same situation, but not exactly. I wouldn't put it the same way because, after all, it is hockey. And so I think a 3-1 comeback by the Oilers would be far more likely. I don't know about far more likely because we are talking about we are talking about OKC. You don't want to lose game 4. You don't want to go down 3-1 still, right? So it's a huge game in Sunrise tonight, obviously. Florida is up to a minus 146 favorite, tick more of a favorite than they were in game 3 in Sunrise. I think we have something coming up on this probably, and are we sure on this, but the Panthers look to do this. And, of course, Conn Smythe implications abound.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Florida wins this, obviously the two Oilers players, McDavid and Draisaitl, will drop accordingly. Because, again, it's going to come from the winning team. And then Florida, it's really a scrum right now. And then how does Florida win this? Does Bobrovsky get back into the Conn Smythe race based on the outcome of this game? Like if there's a shutout tonight, let's just say, for instance, right? Does Bobrovsky rise in this? Sam Bennett right now plus 105. There's McDavid at plus 240. Marchand at 6-1. Bobrovsky at 7-1. There's Draisaitl at 13-1. It'll come from that group of five. Either way this goes. So huge game. You don't have to play in the hockey game tonight, do you?
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. But here's the thing. I'm doing a lot of the in-game where it's like, okay, a team's up a goal. You know, what's the price on a goal and a half in case there's an empty netter? Do a lot of that sort of break.
Nah, I think it's a great call, yeah. A
lot of that. Not that Edmonton hasn't had their share of heroics this playoff, so, tread lightly. Also, be careful, I should say. We'll come back. Are we sure? Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Oh, Wolf named Wayne, check back in. He said, we got there pretty quickly on the Pacers. I'm sorry. Just an Indiana boy hoping his team gets the props they deserve. You guys made me smile. Thank you. You are welcome. Stringfellow Hawk, listening on delay, but let a Rakim line go unacknowledged. Come on. No, we acknowledged it afterwards. And then it's RBIs. I'm too far into it now. I have to read it. But this is—it's an interesting thing with because people like to crush NBA hardos, and they sort of weaponized my talk where I'm like, I think NBA hardos almost are at a disadvantage having watched the regular season when it comes to the playoffs to a degree, because it's such a different sport in the postseason. But he says after the Pacers win it all, I can't wait for the Kelly Bidlin and ANG breakdown of OKC being a better team.
Oh, I've got a ton of these tweets. It's fine.
Okay. All right.
I already scooped up my money for the Western Conference, so
So there you go. You don't care. You don't care.
I mean, this is one of those, like, I feel bad. Like, hey, we've got to preview and talk about the games. I'm going to tell you how I feel about these teams. Yeah. But, like, I've also told you for 7 months how I've been betting the Oklahoma City Thunder, and my tickets are home. I'm good.
But both things are true, I think. Again, in the Killer Challenge, interesting that Fezzik and I are two of the top three. right? And we are not on NBA hardo. So I think both things are true. But yes, you absolutely should, you should say that out loud, because people seem to take some glee in that. Right?
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's, we you know, it's the short-term approach and view of what this what the series and what the NBA is based off of what, how I've been betting it for 6 months.
Yep. East Sidery, Evan Sidery, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander shooting 35.3% in the NBA Finals when guarded by Andrew Nembhard or Aaron Nesmith. Nembhard has held him to 7 for 20, 35% with 5 turnovers. Nesmith 5 for 14, 35.7%, 2 turnovers. Indiana's top 2 defenders, making it very tough on SGA.
They've been incredible. They were one of the two biggest X factors heading into this series. How well could they defend SGA? We knew they were going to get much of the attention. Also, two of the big reasons, Gil, why I did bet Indiana Pacers in two of the series earlier in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. Get it in there. Get it back, Kelly.
Pacers have been awesome. I'm not trying to kill the Pacers.
No,
man.
You're not. I as well, of course, have the Pacers the last two series as well. It's been great. And have them almost in every game, plus the points. It's been a wonderful financial boon. By the way, MLB season win totals, June. Tigers took a hit yesterday. They lose to the Orioles. And they are not at the top of, they are not even anywhere near the top of the leaderboard this morning. Mets, Blue Jays, Giants, all 8-2. The Giants finally had the decency not to win a one-run game last night. I think they had won like 6 in a row. One-run games, but they win again. Diamondbacks and Angels right behind them at 7-3. Now, this is, once again, now, the way that May ended, I didn't end up having any self-loathing because the Cardinals miraculously won on the final day of the month of May, and I didn't ever consider the Cardinals. But remember, the other teams that I had sort of identified, even though I went with the Padres, were all circling the top of the leaderboard and probably should have won but didn't. Here, same sort of thing. While I took the Tigers, two of these five teams I considered and were part of my top four that I mentioned at the beginning of the month, the Giants and the Diamondbacks. And remember, if these are up at DraftKings mid-month still, that they still put this market up, the Diamondbacks finish with a really easy flourish on this schedule. So the fact that they're banking wins here, and the reason I didn't go with them because I didn't trust their bullpen, but they're banking wins, and they close with a 9-game stretch where they are playing the poo-poo platter, if you will, of Major League Baseball teams. So that's, you know, that's if they're, these are yeah, remain up, then that's a thing to think about depending on what the Diamondbacks price was.
Diamondbacks 6-1.
Diamondbacks are 6-1 right now, and again, the close of the month for the Diamondbacks. You ready for this? At Colorado, at the White Sox, home Miami, before they play a final one game against the Giants to round it out. But those are 9 out of their last 10.
So is that not a bet?
Feels like a bet to me. I remember when we were on here and I gave out the 6.
We don't get this updated like on Caesars or anything?
No, we don't get it updated.
Shucks.
Not in Nevada.
Shucks.
Yeah.
Good breakdown by Gil Alexander. Hopefully you can take advantage
remember,
of it.
Remember, that was the one where the Tigers 16-1 was off the board the day that I gave that out. And I'm like, well, but if I was betting it now before we knew that the DraftKings had the 16-1 on them, I said I'd take the Diamondbacks 14-1 because of that flourish. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Hey,
here.
Tigers back out to 18-1 if you'd like to join me and Gil.
That's right. You're welcome. You're welcome to join us. Tigers are 6-4, I believe, right behind this group. All right. Are we sure? Estamos seguros. And it goes a little something like this.
You think you know what's going on in the sports betting world?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Gil and Kelly tackle the hard-hitting questions on another exciting edition of Are We Sure?
Who said I'm positive? Who said that?
Marissa Tomei.
Is that her?
Yeah, it's that scene.
Oh, okay.
It's a scene, remember, she gets on the stand because she talks about how the cars work?
Oh.
And they're all like, sarcastic. Are you sure?
Are you sure? What do you mean? What's Utes?
I still can't believe I can't. I apologize. I'm going to apologize every time because someone tweeted that in suggesting we use that.
And we don't remember who suggested
it. For the open, and I don't remember who it was. Right. And it was an awesome suggestion.
Please, person, identify right. yourself and send that tweet.
That's right. Are we sure the Thunder should be minus 220 to win the NBA Finals, Gil?
No, we're not.
They're down 2-1.
Yeah, we're not sure. They are. I mean, again, 68 wins. They had the most wins heading into an NBA Finals. The only two teams that had more wins heading into an NBA Finals, I should say, were the 72-win Bulls and the 73-win Warriors. So it this team, I get it. They are potentially still epic in terms of what they've done, but boy, oh boy, No, they shouldn't be that big of a favorite. Because the Pacers are deep. I know OKC's deep, but man, how deep are both of these teams? Pacers, the bench has been, and the bench last night, again, massive.
It feels like it actually feels for the long-term storylines for the NBA from this series, what are the big takeaways? It's that these teams with depth,
yes,
making it to the finals, and how the financial situations are changing in the NBA, this is going to be more and more difficult to create quality teams with deeper benches.
It also bucks the thing about, well, the rotations get smaller, right? And that's a thing to keep in mind. Not here.
Yeah. Okay, are we sure Giannis should want to leave Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah. We're sure about that.
Okay.
Why? Why do you say? Why does that come up?
Just some of these teams that he's been linked to. I mean, if we're talking the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, no, he don't want to do that. But that wasn't the question. We are sure he wants to leave, but you didn't say specifically where.
Did you also catch, I left this out of the show yesterday. So I guess he had not ruled out, or he had some quote, but it was in Brazil, translated by a Brazilian newspaper. This happened 2 days ago. But the quote was basically I would love to go a long way with Milwaukee, something like that. And everybody was just questioning whether it all got translated properly.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's probably a fair question. Okay, are we sure either the NBA or Stanley Cup final will go to a game 7?
Are we sure that either will?
Yeah.
No, we're not sure about that. If Florida won in 5 or 6 and the Pacers won in 6, would you be all that surprised?
I'm feeling like we're getting a game 7 in one of these. Maybe even
Well, you
both.
Said, are we sure we won't? Yeah. That's a different phraseology is what that is.
And I said, we'll go to. Final, we'll go to a game 7.
Oh, yeah. Are we sure that we will? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you say you're not
sure. I'm not sure, though. Yeah.
I think I'm sure. I'm sure.
Okay. You're sure one of them does.
How do I bet that prop?
I'm sure it'll be rampantly available in Nevada.
Yes. Absolutely. Are we sure the Panthers should be minus 260 to win this Stanley Cup, despite being up only one game in the series?
A hockey expert could chime in on that better than I could, but my response is always, no, it's hockey. I would not lay minus 260. Edmonton wins tonight. It has a whole totally different feel to me.
Sweet prop up at DraftKings. Are we sure we won't see a game with 10-plus goals? That's a prop up, and I love it.
Again, would it be that shocking?
I mean, the Oilers don't know what they're doing in the net tonight, right?
Yeah. I think it could happen. For sure it could happen.
Plus 210 on the yes for it to happen. That seems like a fun bet.
I'd like a little more bang for the buck.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. All right. Are we sure the Conn Smythe is already down to one of the top 5 guys on the odds board?
I said it last segment. Yes. Yes, it is. One of those top 5 guys, meaning Bennett, McDavid, Marchand, Bobrovsky, or Draisaitl.
It feels early still in this series, but yeah, probably. All right, are we sure the White Sox first 5 success will continue?
just because we brought it up yesterday?
That's what everybody wants to know, though, Gil. Come on. You got to be able to predict everything in the future.
Say it again. Are we sure what?
Their success will continue first 5 innings.
To the point that it will be a betting plus EV bet?
Yeah,
no.
Okay. Net no. positive at the end of the season or no?
From this point forward, if we just started at 0 now?
Yeah. Let's go that way.
I think it's going to be just below 0. Yeah.
Put Gil on the hot seat.
I mean, I'd love to see it be positive, though, because I just think it's such a quirky stat. What we're referring to is that the White Sox, not good at baseball in real life, but in first 5 bets, the 4th best team, the 4th most profitable. Again, year 2 that they're doing this. Not quite as dramatically as last year, but still. We'll come back. Early arrival from the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Unscripted numbers game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to take a look. SharpPlays.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Actually, we get text as well. Jay Sullivan, our old buddy Jay Sullivan, listening to us, enjoying you and Kelly from the Hard Day's Night Hotel in Liverpool. Wow. very flattered that you would listen to us from there, Jay. Appreciate it. Hope you're having a good time. Martle Jay, what's Team Semite going to do with all of Veasan and Omaha? Maybe a latke and matzo ball soup segment tomorrow? I don't know. They didn't really leave us anything behind, so we'll see what, you know, we'll just pay for it ourselves. Sure. Let's see. Jay Buckley, 10 days till back in Vegas for contest signups, circus shenanigans, and hopefully seeing you guys while we're out there. Can't wait. Jay, come by and say hello. And C. Spackler tweets in, yay, crack. I just like typing that. Without further ado, Unscripted with Crackman Bill Krakenberger. Ah, there he is. Morning. In the flesh.
Yes.
It's Bill Krakenberger, everybody. For those who are new to the show, iconic gambling figure here in Las Vegas, Nevada, with his Kangle. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Sorry, I failed to tell you that I was out last week.
Oh, no, is that okay? I came down and just, you know, no one else wants me on except for you. So everyone, you know, they just said, no, Bill, you can't come on. So I just walked out and went home.
No, you didn't come down here, did you? No, Kelly got to you.
Kelly
first.
Got me the day before.
I apologize. Usually I remember. We were just talking off air. So this is a week where a couple musical icons have passed away, both at the age of 82. Mm. Sly Stone a few days ago, who I consider Sly and the Family Stone their own musical genre themselves. I don't think they sounded like anybody else. And then Brian Wilson passes away. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys passes away at the age of 82, who you loved. And Brian Wilson, you know, responsible for hits like Surfing USA, I Get Around, obviously big hits like that. Wouldn't It Be Nice? I mean, Good Vibrations, it goes on and on. All those iconic Beach Boys sounds. And while the two of those guys were nothing alike musically, they were similar in the fact that nothing sounded like the Beach Boys either.
Yeah.
They were their own
thing. I'm a music guy in general. Yeah. Just I love music. So, and Sly and the Family Stone. Oh, my God, Sly was everyday people. That's all I could tell you. Like, there was a version of Kermit the Frog did a version with somebody. And it was so good, though.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton and Kermit the Muppets was a big show back, mm-hmm. you know, years ago, and they did a version. But Brian, it's funny. I was just talking to I have a buddy of mine that's on Twitter on Margin Call, and we were just talking a couple weeks ago about Brian. Didn't know he was going to die.
Yeah.
Just talking about the musical genius of Brian Wilson. So to see it's so sudden and it didn't come out. Listen, the guy's 82. You know, you want to say, oh my God, where do I sign up to live to 82? But then when you get to that age,
of course,
you know, it comes as a shock and sudden, and you don't want it to happen anyway. But, you know, my buddy said he was a musician's kind of musician, like Mark Knopfler or someone that's in the industry. There's certain bands that guys were like so in the beginning of their careers as kids. I'm not talking about, you know, as 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, you just knew they were going to make it in the music industry.
Yeah.
And Brian was one of them. If you ask any musician, if you isolate all the instruments, it doesn't make sense until they come together. And that's what the Beach Boys did. Even though I didn't have the Beach Boys on play, but I would listen to one of the songs if it was on.
Yeah.
You know?
I was not necessarily a Beach Boys fan either. In fact, I was not a fan, but like, I appreciate any musical artist that is, their sound is so different. Like, because most folks, there's some derivative nature to it, right? It's a copycat to some degree.
Yes.
But you can't really detect it in either Sly and the Family Stone or the Beach Boys music. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's a documentary called Promised Road that was out. It's been out for a while, but just to give you an idea, and I'm sure they'll come out with something now on his life. But as we get older, we go to more funerals than weddings.
And so sad. And Sly had a documentary. I think Questlove had a documentary about Sly, so I want to see that as well. Or at least he was part of the documentary. I want to see that.
All right, now can we get into some of these idiots that I'm mad about?
Yes.
Okay. Golf Channel betting analyst.
Oh, boy.
You know what this idiot said?
Mm.
Sometimes in golf, just like roulette, the trend is your friend.
Oh, boy.
So, in other words, you're telling me because 10 blacks in a row came out,
that's
or 10
right.
reds in a row came out, the trend is your friend. This is the people that we have. By the way, he is their gambling expert. He's not just an analyst. He's their gambling expert, go-to guy. No, I'm not going to bury him.
Okay.
You know, I'm not really I really don't do that. I don't really throw people under the bus. Yeah. People know who he is. I don't think it's a nice look when you go after individuals and people.
Do you know what I appreciate about the Tennis Channel when they delve into gambling?
Yeah.
That they don't try to deep dive it. That they, you know, Brett Haber is their lead,
okay.
Lead play-by-play guy. And Brett is smart enough to know a money line conversion to a percentage. And he leaves it at that. And I think for the Tennis Channel audience, that's a beautiful thing to have that much knowledge. Oh, minus 370 after this person wins the first set means that she or he is a blank percentage probability to win the rest of the match. And they just sort of leave it at that.
Right.
They don't really, even if they have like a sponsor, like a FanDuel or whomever.
Sure.
But Golf Channel tries to go a little deeper, huh?
It's not only that. There's many different, you know, it just so happens that that's the latest one that I've seen. Someone sent it to me. I didn't see it, actually, but they sent it to me. I was like, wow, I had to listen to it again to hear if I heard right. Well, speaking of which, you know, some people have sent me some things. Last night someone sent me something. And was, excuse me for my ADD.
That's right.
It was something on, like, a video on, like, learning. Here it is. I play this daily roulette strategy daily. So I watched the video. And it was a guy playing, by the way, 73,000 views. A guy playing what, like the bubble craps and the digital roulette. This is actually, there's a wheel. You sit at the wheel and it's like closet gambling. No one knows what you're doing. You have your own machine. You have your own, you can put the numbers. He's showing people a system, how you can play the streets. The street means like the three number streets. And I think you get 11 to 1 on a street, which is obviously it's terrible odds. Roulette's terrible. It's 5.26 if you're betting straight up. Worse on other bets. But the instructional, let's call them instructional because that's what they want to be called. But they're terrible instructional videos that are out there on different gambling things on YouTube. Of course, there's little shorts on their Instagram and TikTok and stuff. But they're so bad. 73,000 people. And you know what? As 164 responses, and guess what? They're all good. Oh, thank you. I love this double up system. So
yeah.
The guy was doubling up if he lost those streets, tripling up. I just can't believe people would say, oh, because they just don't know.
But you
and we're too close to the sun, like you say.
You seized on the most important part, which is you expect, because we're too close to the sun, we would expect for someone to be in the comments being like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Nobody.
But nobody is.
Nobody.
No, it's like an army of wow, that's awesome.
There was a slot channel someone sent me. And by the way, I guess people love to watch high limit slots, and I guess the thrill of it is someone actually betting. So a guy was betting $900 a spin. I watched him yesterday. $900 a spin, and he's supposedly a really nice guy. I'm not throwing him under the bus, because supposedly he's got, by the way, makes millions and millions of dollars, and it's not Vegas Matt, by the way, who I like. But this guy is betting $900 a spin, and you're watching him, and he hit for $150,000. And everyone at home's like, wow, oh my God, this is all, like, I guess the reason that people don't realize is that he gets paid to do that. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he gets walk-in money, he gets front money, back cash money, and you may even get an appearance fee. I hear some of these slot guys, and good for them, that's fine. But I like someone to be transparent, like Vegas Matt, that come out and said, I lost $360,000 playing last year. So I did lose to show you guys these videos, but he may make millions. I'm sure he makes millions, you know, with his merchandise, his walk-in money, his deals, and you know what I mean?
That little point you made there, when I first started a podcast, when Betting Dork started,
right.
Even before Betting Dork, when I was just decided, I'm going to do a sports betting podcast, the whole innovation was like, and I'm going to tell people when I lose. Like, what a mind-blowing thing was at that time.
That's not going to sell.
Right? I mean, you know, but imagine, like, that.
Right.
That's because that's what the industry is.
Sure.
Right? Listen, all these sports books, like the same game parlays, there is something about the wiring of the human brain that bet little to win massive amounts of money. If you just tell those stories, people become mesmerized, right? And they know this.
Yes.
And they know this. And that's not the way to be a long-term winner, obviously.
Sure.
But that's the hook.
You know, I've actually resorted to giving in a little bit. By the way, the last one. Someone sent me some one thing. It was a girl scratching $50 lottery tickets. She bought $1,000 in lottery tickets, and she lost. She got back $850, and she got a million views. She's scratching $50 lottery tickets. I mean, it's sick. But I come to the conclusion of, You know what? You're all going to bet your parlays anyway.
Yeah.
I have no problem with someone betting $100 each game straight and betting a $10 five-teamer. Have some fun with that. But the $100, you know, each individual bet of that parlay means more than anything. I would want rather not you have not, you know, not, don't bet the parlay, but I know they're going to do it anyway.
Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. Wisecracks, the name of the podcast, which he does with John Orlando. Coming back unscripted on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.